Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, welcome to What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries, where we teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net to take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. You can also join us with links to previous shows and are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Glory be to God. Ever wonder what it takes to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site. And if we can be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net or give us a call at 804-909-7339. You can also watch us streaming live on Periscope, download the app from the Apple Store or Android Play Store, follow us on Twitter at DMCCEI, and you'll get instant notifications when we're live on the air. Today we're going to continue our series in the book of John, and I am so excited about what the Lord is going to reveal to us. If you'd like to be part of the conversation this morning, give us a call at 347-857-1322 or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2 and you can listen or chat with us online. Hallelujah, glory be to God. We want to welcome you here on this beautiful Tuesday in Richmond, Virginia. We thank you for joining with us, and let's pray. Father, we just thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to gather in your presence, to break the bread of life. We know, Father, that according to your word, a man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity again to get into your word, to determine how to use this word to make us the people that you would have us to be, and to be the servants that you would have us to be. Father, we thank you again. We know, Lord, that this is seed that's sown into good ground, and that we'll reap a 30, a 60, a 100, even a 1,000-fold return in this lifetime. And we just give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hallelujah. I hope you've been excited about this study that we've been doing in John. And we're going to continue today in John chapter 10. It's taken us a while to get here, but glory be to God. I think we've had some fun breaking the bread of life and learning what God has for us in this particular book. There is so much meat here, so much that is relevant to us and to our Christian walk. And so we just want to take our time and make sure that we explore every aspect of it so that we can get the maximum benefit of it. All right, in John chapter 10, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Yours may be read a little bit different, but it'll be pretty close. Verse 1 in John chapter 10, if I can get my Bible thing to work here, says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd's is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Now, it's very interesting here that a couple of things that we want to pay attention to. Most assuredly, when you see that in the Bible, he is being very emphatic there. He's saying that by absolute, let me see if I can look it up here in the Amplified Bible. It says, I assure you most solemnly tell you I tell you most solemnly, he who does not enter by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up another way, elsewhere from the same other quarter, is a thief and a robber. So he's being very emphatic here, and he's saying this is an absolute truth. There's no question about it, and that we have to make sure that we understand that is exactly what he's saying. There's no ambiguity. And he says in the Message Bible, in that same verse, he says, let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know that he's up to no good. He's a no good sheep rustler. So we want to make sure that we understand that. So it's very important for us in the body of Christ to know who our shepherd is. And, of course, we all have a shepherd of Jesus Christ, but even in our churches, sometimes the pastor is not really the shepherd of our soul. And so we want to make sure that when we're choosing a church or selecting a congregation that we want to fellowship with, that we take time to find out who that person is, because his responsibility as a pastor is to pray for your soul. He's going to have to stand in heaven before God and answer for your soul. And so we want to try to make that job as easy on him as we possibly can. Amen. So he's saying here that if somebody tries to come in except through the door, then you're going to recognize that is not the truth. You're going to see that plainly, and you'll understand because you understand the voice of God. So one of the things that Satan loves to do is he loves to try to distract us. And so we'll hear a lot of different voices in our head. We'll have a lot of people who have opinions, and we'll hear a lot of people that will express those opinions in a variety of different ways. But what we have to do is make sure that we're so grounded and rooted in the Word of God that when that foolishness comes, we're not moved by it. We know what the true voice of God is. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and that's one of the things that we have to really explore. Is the ministry and the relationship with the Holy Spirit, because that is the key. That having a relationship with the Holy Spirit is key to having a relationship with Jesus, and then having a relationship with Jesus is key to having a relationship with the Father. So we need to make sure that we understand that and then apply that in our lives at every juncture. All right, let's move on. Verse 7 says, Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but, and this is a very important but here, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf watches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, which are not of this fold, and them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Glory be to God. This is really exciting. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again, and no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. This command have I received from my Father. Therefore there was a division amongst the Jews because of these things, and many of them said, He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So they're referring back to last week's message in chapter 9, where the blind man was given his. Understand, here's a couple of things. Number one, a hireling. What is a hireling? Well, in a lot of denominational churches, and I'm not mad at anybody or picking on any denominational churches, but one of the things about those is they hire their pastor. They have like a board or deacons or trustees or something that that takes applications, interviews these folks, and hires a pastor. Well, that pastor, unless he's actually called by God, is really nothing more than a hireling. And in some of these denominations, I have seen some strange things, like a church that I was in before, where the pastor left and went to another church because they could offer him more money and a Cadillac. So you can't judge the person, but you have to check the fruit on the tree. And if the fruit on the tree is not right, if that just didn't look right to me, then there was a problem, and I ended up leaving the church because I couldn't deal with that. That was just absolutely absurd. And so a person who is a shepherd of people is someone that has an investment in those people. He has taken time to learn who they are, to find out what their idiosyncrasies are, to learn what their gifts are, and he is one who is focused on helping them develop themselves into a worthwhile servant in the kingdom of God. But a hireling is a dangerous thing because they can be here today and gone tomorrow. Now, you see that a lot in churches where they change pastors here and there like they change socks and underwear. And that's just not a good thing because then you have no consistency, and then the people don't know whose voice they're listening to. Now, there is no excuse for someone going into a church and being totally dependent on the voice of the pastor. That you have to stand on your own. You have to read the Word and study the Word and come to a relationship with Jesus yourself if you're ever going to have any modicum of success in the kingdom of God. I tell my pastor all the time, if you decide to sleep with a secretary, it's not going to change me from serving God. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Now, you know, the point here is that I know the voice of the Lord. And I know that when my pastor preaches, I know whether he's preaching out of his flesh, and I know whether he's preaching out of the Spirit. And when he's preaching out of the Spirit, that's a great thing. But regardless of what he says or what he does, it's not going to change my commitment to serve the Lord, because I've done my homework and I've studied to show myself approved. So that's where we want to be. We want to make sure that we have that. And when you do that, then you're going to see this part down here in 19, where he says, therefore there was a division amongst the Jews because of those sayings, and many of them said, he has a demon and is mad, and he has a why do you listen to him? You know, when you get into discussions with people in the religious or in religion, then you find that happens quite frequently. There's a lot of division. In fact, I asked the Lord one day, you know, why are there so many different religions? I mean, they're like 80-some-hundred religions out there. And he said it's because of man's desire to try to do three things. Number one, to control God. Number two, to completely understand God. And number three, to get what they want from God. And that's just not right. And that's why we have such division. People will take a verse or two out of the Bible and totally misconstrue it, and then want to use it as a religion. And they're going, well, I don't like the way he preaches that, so we're going to go over here and start this other thing. So then you end up with utter chaos, and you have splits in the churches and division, and people get all messed up. Well, thank God there's a spirit of revival in America right now that is coming around, and it is going to end up being something absolutely fantastic. But for right now, we just want to know that there is that spirit there, a spirit of revival, and that people are starting to get themselves lined up with the Word of God, And in spite of all the foolishness of this earth, they are seeing the truth in the Word of God and are beginning to be attracted to that. So praise God. Another thing here in verse, let's go to verse 22. He says, now, it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, said, I told you, and you did not believe it. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me, or of me. But you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is able to snatch them. Anyway, nobody. I and my Father are one. So he says, no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Glory be to God. Now that is an exciting scripture right there, and it gives us the ability to have confidence and know that, look, when you're saved, born again, and filled with the Spirit of God, it's because you've been called. You've been selected from before the beginning of time. He says in his word, he says, I've known you from before the beginning of time. And so we are called. Many are called, few are chosen, because few choose to accept the call. But when you accept that call of Christ, then you are saved and you are in the sheepfold of Jesus. And he knows you, and you're going to know him. You'll know his voice, and you will not be moved to the left or the right by any of this foolishness that's going on in this world. And I think that's part of the big problem why people are having so much problem right now, is because they're being tossed to and fro. There's so much confusion out there. There's all these different issues like the Afghanistan and Syria and Jordan and places like that, and Iran and Iraq, and Jerusalem is at war. They're getting ready to go to war. And the Palestine, they've been, you know, fighting for years. The Muslims, there's about 30 different sects of Muslims. Some of them are peaceful and others are not. All of that stuff. And then, of course, you have the economy in the United States. You have gay rights and gay marriage that's taken a foothold here. Sin runs a bound here. But, you know, all of that is absolutely irrelevant when you're saved, born again, and filled with the Spirit of God, because you belong to Jesus, and he knows you, and you know him, and so none of that stuff has any effect on you. It should not, you know, sway you one way or the other in the work that you do to promote the kingdom of God. And he says right here, he says, look, no one can take you out of my hand. Because I and the Father are one, and what the Father has given me, nobody can take away. In fact, when we get a little bit later down here in John, where he prays in his three prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane, that's where he says that. He says, look, every person, everyone that you've given me, I have kept, with exception of one, and that was Judas, who was there to fulfill Scripture. And he said, but every single one that you've given me, I have kept, and they are yours, and you are mine, and glory be to God, you know, they're not going to have any problems, you know, fulfilling what you've called them to do. Hallelujah. This is good stuff. I hope you're enjoying it. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them and said, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them and said, Is it not written in your law that you are gods? And that's little G-O-D-S, which is absolutely correct. And he says, if he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming? because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do through you, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to stone him, but he escaped out of their land. Hallelujah. Now here's the thing to remember here. In this particular verse, he's talking about the fact that, look, not only do I say that I'm the Son of God, but I show you through my works. Well, see, the deal with salvation is you're never going to be able to do enough works to be saved, but you have to accept that as a gift from God. But once you accept that gift, then you have to get busy doing works for God. And what's going to happen is your works are going to be a testimony of your faith. They're going to be a testimony of your relationship, and people will see what you do, and they'll recognize the fact that Jesus lives in you and you live in him. There will be no confusion, no misunderstanding, and then they're going to have to make up their own mind whether or not they believe it's you or they believe that it's Jesus. Now, the beautiful thing here is, okay, you have to remember this, the beautiful thing here is that as long as you do it out of a good heart, what you do to serve God, then he will recognize that and he will reward you for that. And so that's the key right there, is we want to make sure that what we're doing is from God. In several different scriptures, I think in Romans chapter 1 and then the other day in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I read that people were asking, or people were saying that, you know, God is my witness that what I do is correct. Well, that's the greatest witness we can have, is that God is testifying on our behalf, saying that what we're doing is exactly what he has called us to do. So, you know, I challenge you today to evaluate what you're doing in the ministry, evaluate what you're doing for God, and if you were to go to him and ask him this question, you know, will you testify, will you be my witness that what I'm doing is of you, then wait for the answer. And if the answer is yes, then keep doing what you're doing. But if the answer is no, then you need to start making some mid-course corrections because you're out of line. Let's go to verse 40, and we're going to finish up chapter 10 today. Glory be to God. Chapter 10, verse 40 says, "And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. Then many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true. Many believed in him there." And so we want to remember that this testimony, and that's what this is all about, is your testimony, because the Bible says you overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. We want to make sure that our testimony is true. We don't want to have any sort of lie or any sort of misconception in our testimony. We want to make sure that what we do is what God has called us to do, and then people will begin to see the authenticity of your walk with Christ. The more that you read and study your word, and all that we've talked about in the renewing your mind by the washing of the water of the word, all of this is essential to being an effective witness for God. Because people will hear what you say, but they see what you do a whole lot better. And so we want to make sure that we've got all of that lined up, that we're being obedient to the word of God, and that we're faithful to do that which he has called us to do. And we have to believe. That's the key word. That is the word that has come up in my ministry here more over the last month or so than any time before in history. Is what do you believe? Do you really believe the word of God is true? Do you really believe that Jesus came to save you from your sins? Do you really believe that God loves you? Folks, I'm telling you, God sits in heaven and he adores you. You are the apple of his eye. He desires nothing more than to be a blessing to you, to show you how his kingdom works, to teach you the ways of the Lord, so that you can be an effective witness for him. There is much work that needs to be done. There are many people that are dying. There are many people that are hurting. There are many people who need to be set free, And we are the vessels on the face of this earth that he chooses to use in order to accomplish that task. So listen to the Word of God. Learn the voice of the Holy Spirit. Develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Talk to him on a regular basis. Get to know him. Get to know how he thinks and how he operates. And your mind will be transformed from the inside out, and you'll be renewed in the Spirit of the Lord. And so we want to encourage you today here at DMC Ministries to, again, read your Bible every day. Every day, every day, every day. I don't care if it's one verse. I don't care if it's one word. But just read something in the Bible every day. There are many organized reading plans where you can read through the Bible in a year. Some of those are good. Some of those are not so good. But that's a decision that you're going to have to make, and you're going to have to determine what fits and works for you. But get busy. Get to reading your Word every single day. And when you read, ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate it to you. Ask him to show you what this Word of God means so that you can begin to be an effective witness and you can begin to renew your mind by the washing of the water of the Word. We love you, and we appreciate you, and we're so grateful to have this opportunity. A couple of things that are coming up here in the future, if you're interested. We are planning to go back to Africa in 2016, probably sometime in April. I've also had an invitation to go to Pakistan, so we're beginning to work on that to see how that might come to pass. We're going to be in Florida next month, around the middle of the month, for a ministry down there that we work with, that we're going to help them with their consecration and their service there. And we're available. We're available to help you. We have time to help you. We do a lot of marriage counseling. We do a lot of relationship counseling. We do a lot of personal counseling. And so if you need us, please don't hesitate to call us. Our email address is dmc@dmcministries.net. And our telephone number is 804-909-7339. Check out our website at www.dmcministries.net. We have a tremendous amount of resources out there. You can check out our newsletter, which has been going on now for almost, 8 years, and we're almost at 9 when we start in January. And it's absolutely wonderful. You'll be blessed by it. And we hope that you'll gain something and glean something out of that that will help you in your Christian walk. If there's anything that we can do for you, please don't hesitate to contact us. We're here to serve you, and without you, nothing that we do makes any difference. So next week, we'll be here at Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Please don't hesitate or forget to join us, and we look forward to seeing you. And until then, let the Spirit of God reign in your life. Hallelujah.